You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Wow, what a morning. There we go. I know I'm short, but thank you. Hey, I'm up here on the tire rack, and dude, we could just go. Like, really, what can we add to this morning of what God has done? And I'm telling you, it's just getting started with this Faithful series. And I want you to know something. If I don't say it later, like, if you've noticed, hopefully you've noticed, we haven't said anything about how great MC3 is. Because it's not. We're not. You're not. I'm not. But God is faithful. God is amazing. God is incredible. And so that's what we're going to celebrate all month long, looking at this five-year anniversary. And we're just getting started. I'm telling you, there's stuff happening every week. And of course, if you haven't been here before, or if you haven't even looked over your shoulder, we've got most of the series that we've covered over the last 5 years are on that back wall back there. But one thing I realized, Bill, could you turn that TV facing the stage there? Because I have no idea what time it is. Hey, that's perfect. Thank you. Okay, well, if you noticed on Facebook this week, I posted a question and asked for, you know, what would you like to see dropped from 15 feet? And we actually did this a few years ago. It was during the Hosea series. It was actually over there. We talked about sin and how the effects of sin splatter everywhere. And we dropped some fruit, and it was successful. We had a lot of fun with it. And so I thought today, we got a different concept, but since it was so much fun, you know, we got to drop stuff again. But this time, we're not just stuck with fruit. Okay, we're going to go beyond fruit and drop some more. So why don't we hit the house lights here? And I will tell you this, we have an official camera, I guess, but if you want to video this and post it to social media, put it on your Instagram page, Snapchat, that's fine. If you could help us out with doing that or take pictures, you don't have to. But if you do, tag it, hashtag MC3Faithful with a 5 instead of the second F, F-A-I-T-H-5-U-L. But hashtag it that way, then it'll all be grouped together on Facebook anyway. So I've got a bunch of things. I took your requests and put them together, and there is... Oh, you moved back. Okay. So the splash zone, interestingly, as packed as it is, this area over here is open. So I've got a bunch of random stuff, and there are some things I chose not to do for the safety and life survival of the people in the front area. This awesome idea with, you know, exploding nails and stuff, but probably that's frowned upon. So I don't even know what I've all got here, honestly. Let's see. What's under there? Oh, okay, that's what that is. I don't know. Let's just start with some interesting things here. One of the things that was requested here, I don't know if it was requested or not, but I've got a mug here. Just to start right out with some shattering. So there were safety glasses offered. Duck. But this is approximately 15 feet. I know it's 22 feet to the peak of the roof here. So give or take. And what you're going to see, you're going to notice something when I drop this. Now, I'm assuming too much. Maybe you don't know what's going to happen. So when I go to drop this, something spectacular is going to happen. Okay? Say yes. Okay, here we go. First one. Ooh, don't die. This is the dangerous one. So, okay. Ooh, that would have really hurt somebody. Okay, all right, that shattered. That was awesome. Okay, and then if you notice when I let go, it fell. So, okay, cool. Let's move on here. We've got pudding. Someone asked about Jell-O. I couldn't get Jell-O to work the right way, so I've got a pudding pack, and I'm just going to drop it. I don't think it's going to do that much. Let's see. Oh, didn't even open. So, let's see here. Do I have another one? Oh, maybe I don't. Oh, yeah, I do. That's a little better. Okay. All right, let's see. Someone asked about a bag of tomatoes. Here's a bunch of tomatoes. When I turn that, let's see. What do you think is going to happen? Just curiosity. Any guesses? It's going to... Aw, that was disappointing. I don't know, have any of you guys watched the commercials on TV for switching from satellite to cable? So now it's time to switch. This could be dangerous too. All right, that was kind of fun, satellite dish. An egg, that was requested, an egg classic. Oh, you guys can't... Oh! All right, well, the signs have arrows pointing back there. The whole area is a splash zone. And we are not liable for anything. How about a soda? Soda can? Oh, that was disappointing. So let's mix it up a little bit. There is a cloth here if you you know, care. Okay. That was... Oh! It's doing something. If we wait for the next 2 hours. Okay. All right. I don't know. It's getting worse. This was requested. I don't have a taco, but I made a burrito last night. And we'll drop the burrito here right in the middle. Aww. It's exciting from up here. But it fell. Okay. Here, how about... here, just to mix it up. I've got a balloon. Someone requested a balloon, so let me drop a balloon. It went down. Now, I mean, that was a little confusing, so just in case you weren't sure, I'm going to throw this balloon up, okay? Just because it might do something different. Watch out! Whoa. Okay. All right. Halloween, Thanksgiving season. Pumpkin pie. Oh, what was that? I don't know what that was. It came out of the pie. All right, and this was the request that was made, and it was like, no, don't do that. That would be really bad. Bag of flour. Now, this is my last object and item here. Just question, what do you think is going to happen when I remove my hands from this? It's going to fall. Now, if I were to take this and toss it up into the air, what would happen? It would fall. Okay, if I were to close my eyes and drop it, what would happen? It would fall. Okay, so let's say I turned it sideways and dropped it. What would happen? It would fall. So what you're telling me is no matter what I do, it is going to fall. Right? Yes? Yes. What? Really? Why? Why am I opening it? Okay. I don't have fingers. All right. I said the dangerous ones are over. I didn't say you wouldn't get covered with stuff. Okay, here we go. This is the last one. When I let go, it's probably going to fall, and I'm wondering what's going to happen. Are you either going to get covered in flour dust or burrito? Because it's right in the middle here. All right, here we go. Let's count down from 3, 2, 1. Oh, it looks cool from up here. So anyway, yeah, that's the end of it. Ron McLeister is not here. I was going to offer to push him off, as that was a strong suggestion online as well. And DJ offered to jump himself, and I don't doubt it. So, but we're not going to do that either. But each of these things, as I lifted them and held them out, they fell down. Why did they fall down? Gravity, right? Gravity. We know what gravity is. I think you know what gravity is. If you want to hear something pretty awesome, gravity, the rate of gravity is 9.81 meters per second squared. Take that, math people. 9.81 meters per second squared, that is the rate at which an object will increase in speed due to gravity on the Earth. And gravity is also something, the reason gravity happens, in case you were wondering, has nothing to do with the spinning of the Earth. It has nothing to do with the atmosphere. Any object in space that has mass has gravity. You have gravity. If you were to be out in the middle of space, in the middle of nowhere, which is space, generally. And there was something very small, you would have gravity that would attract it to you. Now, the Earth's gravity is fairly strong because of the size of the Earth. And so everything, the sun has gravity, and that's why everything orbits around the sun. So anything that has mass has gravity. And gravity is something that no matter how hard you try, you can't change it. No matter what I did with any of these objects, no matter how they were dropped, no matter what happened, they're still going to fall. If I threw them up into the air, they would fall. If I attached them to a drone and flew them over a sporting event, aside from being arrested and put in prison, eventually they would fall because the batteries would die or the mechanical failure. Eventually it would fall. Everything falls. Everything comes down because of gravity. Gravity is. And it doesn't matter how much you wish it not to be. It doesn't matter how hard you try to not be gravity, to fight gravity, to be against gravity. You know, we can fly on planes, and the planes eventually come down. Like, it doesn't matter. Gravity is gravity. You can't fight. And I want you to get something. That faithfulness to God is what gravity is to us or to this planet. Because gravity is. There is nothing you can change. Gravity is essential to what's going on. No matter how much you change it, dress it up, try to mix it around, you can't change gravity. It's part of life. Gravity is. And for God, faithfulness is who God is. And so the point that I want you to get today, and we're going to be building on this concept over the rest of this month, is that God is faithful in all that He does. God is always faithful in all that He does. Faithfulness, get this, isn't a decision that God makes. Faithfulness isn't something that God chooses to do or chooses to be. It is who He is. For us as humans, we can tell stories of, yes, I was faithful, or I was unfaithful. And you might know someone that was faithful or unfaithful, and whether that's in a relationship, whether that's to a company, whether that's whatever, to a sports team. Penn State pulled a good one off yesterday. Whew, about time. Anyway, but you can be faithful, you know, but you know, say things don't go so well. And I saw this interesting article about James Franklin being set aside for the Joe Paterno statue, that they were going to replace James Franklin with the Joe Paterno statue to be the new coach for Penn State. And it's very funny. Anyway, but you know, so things don't go so well, and you maybe aren't faithful to your team. And but that is not something that describes God. God does not choose to be faithful. God is faithful. And as these guys kind of already pointed out a little bit earlier, you know, faithfulness is just God's continualness to be there for us. And we'll talk about that in a second, but just understand that faithfulness isn't a decision that God chooses to make. Faithfulness isn't something that God says, okay, yeah, I've been faithful before, but you know what? What you did there, or you know, the way you look, or the way you've been, or I just stopped. I'm not going to be faithful to you anymore. That is not possible because it's part of God's nature. It's part of God who He is. And He cannot change from that faithfulness. And Kirk actually said that during his prayer. You know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so faithfulness is who He is. And so I want us to get that idea. And a lot of what we're going to be talking about today is mostly cerebral. It's mostly brain stuff. It's mostly getting us to understand some concepts that we need to get. Because we and again, if you grew up in church, if you didn't grow up in church, this is cool. Maybe this is new to you. That's fine. But if you grew up in church, you probably heard this over and over. God's faithful. Yeah. Cool. You know, God's faithful. My dad wasn't. Now I'm alone with my mom. So we equate this faithful idea of, you know, is that what God's going to do? Is that the way God is going to change? But He cannot, will not change His faithfulness. And I want us to understand that concept because it leads into so much that we're going to be talking about over the rest of this month and looking at these ideas of what this is all about. I mean, look at you. I don't mean this. Look at you. Look at the stories of what God is doing, what God has done. And that is because He is faithful. And I want to look at this passage It's in Deuteronomy chapter 32. So if you have your Bibles or YouVersion app, just tap on Deuteronomy, tap on 32. I'm in the New Living Translation, the NLT, but you can read it in whatever one you prefer. But I want you to understand something before I actually read this passage about what is going on here. There's a guy named Moses, and Moses was this man who, long story short, and actually Kirk led us into the story of Moses, and then I talked about Moses and Pharaoh during the Heroes Return series in July and August. But Moses, if you weren't here for that, Moses was a guy who was born Jewish, and there was a Pharaoh in the land that basically wanted to get rid of the Jews because there were too many of them, too many Hebrews, so he had them exterminated. And Moses was saved, was rescued, and ended up being raised by Pharaoh's daughter and grew up in the household of Pharaoh. He lived there for approximately 40 years, give or take. And then in the process of things going on, he ended up murdering an Egyptian who was beating a Hebrew slave. And so he fled to the wilderness, hid in the wilderness for 40 years, married this woman named Zipporah, and lived as a shepherd in the wilderness, out, you know, doing the nomad kind of thing. And then in the process here, he's out shepherding and doing his shepherding thing, and God comes to Moses and speaks to him in a burning bush. And as cool as it is, if you watch a bush burn, like, I have a burn barrel, and sometimes I'll throw leaves in there. Anyway, that's really cool. But this bush didn't burn up. It wasn't consumed. And God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, look, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt. They've been in slavery. It's been over 400 years, and it's time to take them to the land that I promised them. And so God says, Moses, you are the man. You are the one that is going to do this. And so then, and again, we talk about this in the Heroes Return series, then Moses goes before Pharaoh, and basically there's these 10 plagues, these 10 miracles that God uses Moses to perform so that Pharaoh and the Egyptians finally say, fine, you guys can leave. Take these Hebrew slaves, get out of here, we don't want you here anymore, go to the land God has promised you. And so this is Moses, he's the leader of this group, and he goes into the desert. They start leaving Egypt and going to Israel, and if you have a map, which you don't, it's kind of like they start down here in Egypt, here's the Mediterranean Sea, and they go up around on their way towards Israel, which is over here, and in the process, they cross the Red Sea, you know that, big whoop-doo, but they start to go into the land, and they send scouts into this land and say, hey, you know, check it out. It's time to go in. And a bunch of these scouts go, oh, there's no way. There's no way we can take this land. The guys are too big. And God's like, what? You don't think I'm bigger than the armies of these other people? You don't think those 10 plagues have been amazing? You don't think the Red Sea was a big deal? Anyway, so God says, fine. If you guys don't think you can do it, then we'll wait until you're dead and let your kids go into the land that I've promised you. And so this is Moses. He is the leader. And so Moses had this wonderful privilege of leading these people through the desert. They called it wandering in the wilderness. They weren't lost. They were being led around until that first generation died off for 40 years. And in the process, Moses got a little ticked with the people because, you know, unlike us, they kind of turned their back on God every once in a while. Unlike us, they did things they probably shouldn't have and said things they shouldn't have and sometimes lost faith and trust in what God was doing. I know we don't do that, but that's what happened then. It was like thousands of years ago. And so these people stopped following God at one point, and they were looking for water and something to drink, and they were complaining. And Moses got ticked off, and he strikes this rock, and water comes out of it. And God said, no, Moses, I told you to speak to this rock and tell this rock and be an example for my people. But Moses loses his temper, beats on this rock. It does provide water. But God said, Moses, that was it. I need my leader to be a leader that obeys me and follows me. He said, Moses, because of this, you're not going to get to see the land. You're not going to get to go in to the land that you've been wandering these 40 years for. And so your successor. His name's Joshua, and Joshua is going to end up leading the people into the land, and they're going to do the Jericho walls and walk around and all that stuff. But so Moses, at the end of Deuteronomy, and the word Deuteronomy means, in Latin is Deuteronomos, second law. This book of Deuteronomy is Moses bringing all the people together. Because 40 years have passed, and that first generation has died out, and Moses is getting them all together and saying, look, let me review the law, let me go over the law a second time, so you know what to expect as you go into this land. Because your parents, knew this, but they died because they didn't follow me. They didn't think we could do it. So we're leaving you a second chance, a chance to go into the land. And so Moses here, that's what the book of Deuteronomy is. And at the end of Deuteronomy, there we go. We're catching up to where we're going to read. The end of Deuteronomy in chapter 32, Moses ends, this is the end of his life, in front of all of Israel, and we're talking thousands of people, ends his life by sharing this song. It says it's a song. He sung a song in front of all the people. Sang a song in front of the people. Sorry. He breaks out the microphone. Someone goes over to the piano. Little special music number for you guys all out there. This one goes out to my boy Joshua. And he sings this song. I'm not going to sing it. And he sings this song to the people and talks about God and God's faithfulness. And we'll talk about that in just a second here. But I want you to understand all of that, why all of that matters. Because there's two important things about what Moses is saying here. One, this is the end of his life. And he knows it. God said, Moses, you are going to die here. This is the end. You've lived a long, 120 years. That guy, he's had his years. And God says, Moses, this is the end. And so Moses knows that he's at the end of his life. Now, none of us really have a clue. Maybe, you know, there's some sort of a doctor's prognosis. There's disease, cancer, something like that. And we're given a timeline. And you know, if you've known anybody or just even imagine your own life, once we get a timeline, once we know you've got 6 months, everything changes. Because from that moment on, you're going to start living life to the full. You're going to start making a difference in what you do. You want to say the right things. And that's what's going on with Moses here. He's at the end, and he says, what, if this is it, this is how I go out, what am I going to share? What am I going to say? What am I going to talk about to these people? And so understand that this is his last minute. This is his deathbed confession. He's not on deathbed at this moment. But this is his like last moment deal. And this is a big deal that he shares these things. The second thing you need to understand is that he is dying here because he's being punished by God for his disobedience earlier. And so you've got Moses sharing what he's about to share, knowing that he's not going to get to go into the land that he had been, you know, 40 years leading these people, doing all these things that God had called him to do, but knew that he wasn't going to get into the land after these 40 years. And so he is going to share these things, and it's a big deal because these are his last words. And again, if we knew what our last words were, we would make them count. So Moses is making his last words count. And as he shares these things, he's sharing it knowing that he is being disciplined by God and not going into the land. And so, I don't know, if it was my last words and I knew I was being disciplined by God, I'd be like, God, you suck. Screw you, because I want to go in that land. I've led these whining people for 40 years. I've led whining people for 5 years. And let me tell you, 40 years? No. But, you know, getting to the end and be like, this is it, really? But that is not how Moses responds with his last words. This is what he says in verse 1. Listen, O heavens, this is a song, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words that I say. Let my teaching fall on you like rain. Let my speech settle like dew. Let my words fall like rain on tender grass, like gentle showers on young plants. He says, look, I want you guys to get what I'm about to say. I want you to get it. Listen, pay attention. As I sing this song to you, O Israel, O people of Israel, Hebrew people, generations, I want you to understand that what I'm saying is a big deal. And so he says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. How glorious is our God. He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright he is. And he uses this word faithful. At the end of his life, he's dying and he's being punished. And what does he say? He's a faithful God. I want to tell you how glorious God is. I want to tell you how amazing he is. I want to tell you how wonderful he is. He's the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God. And the Hebrew word there is a word that means steadfast, steady, consistent, doesn't change, doesn't waver, won't give up, keeps going on because he is faithful. And this is what Moses is saying at the end of his life about a God that, again, if we get to a hard point, we're like, God, forget it. But he says, no, I know I'm being punished. I know I can't get into the land that I had hoped for, but that doesn't change who God is. God is faithful. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright he is. And so he realizes that faithful is who God is. It's not something God chooses to do or not to do. It is who God is. He is faithful. He is faithful to you. He is faithful to me. He is faithful to us. And if we're in a Moses situation and things don't look so good and we're not getting what we had hoped, it doesn't change God's faithfulness because it's who he is. And so let me share a few things. First of all, as Moses reads this, as he sings this song, he shares that God's faithfulness is found in how he loves. He gives examples here. He says, look, I want to tell you, God is a faithful God. Let me just share some of the reasons he's a faithful God. He talks about God's faithfulness and how he loves us, how he loves Moses, how he loves the Israelite people. And this idea is that God is constantly head over heels in love with us. And he doesn't stop. He won't quit. He, as Moses says, he is the rock. He is the rock. And the word here, you know, I don't know if you're thinking of Dwayne Johnson or not, but that's not what Moses had in mind, okay? Dwayne Johnson is pretty much a rock, but that's not what he's talking about here. This idea, it's referring to a summit on a mountain between the cliffs where there's like a hiding spot, an idea, a place of safety and security. And I have never gone like mountain climbing. I'm not mountain climbing, certainly in an official way. And I've never tried to summit like Everest or any of those places. But I do know a little bit, because I saw it in a movie, about K2 with Chris O'Donnell. Anybody? No? Okay. Anyway, the idea of a summit is a place where you can finally, when we get to that spot, it's a place of safety, of security, of rest, of protection, of care. And that's what Moses is saying here. He says, God is constantly caring for you. He is the rock. He is the one that is protecting you. He is the one that is sustaining you. He is the one that is providing for you. Everything you have and you are is because God loves you. And we'll see in a moment, it doesn't matter what you think about it. It's true. That God is the rock. He loves you. And that is a demonstration of God's faithfulness. He loves his children. And he won't stop. He loves us. And he won't stop. And, you know, I am a dad. I've got 4 children. And none of them are in the room right now. That's weird. I am so imperfect. And I fail. And you guys, you know, some of you as fathers, mothers, you know, you care about your children. Some of you have, you know, been abandoned as children. I mean, there's all sorts of stories out there. But even in our best days, we're nothing like God and his love for his children and his love for us. And as a dad, you know, I try to do things that matter to my kids. I try to do things that, you know, maybe they don't necessarily like, but liking doesn't always mean it's the best thing because they enjoy it, you know. And I don't know if I'm explaining this concept right, but God loves his kids. I love my kids, and I would be willing to do anything for them, protect them, watch over them, provide for them. And God loves us so much more. He is the rock. He is that source of protection, of sustenance, of provision. Those are big fancy words. He gives us everything we've got. He gives you every breath that you've got. Because he loves you. And his ultimate example of love going, you know what, you're sinful people. We have fallen away. We've sinned. We don't do the right thing. We've missed the mark. That's what the word sin means. And he says, I am not happy with that. So he sends Jesus to die for us. Because he loves us. So Moses says, God is the rock. You can find his faithfulness in how he loves us. And if you're not sure if God is faithful, just think. Just realize that God loves you.
And that is a demonstration of His faithfulness. The second thing that we find is that God's faithfulness is found in what He does. In what He does. Faithful is who God is. His faithfulness is found in what He does. And what Moses says here is He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything that God does is perfect. Everything that God does is perfect. Everything that God does is perfect. And He has been faithful to you. And I... Life is messy. And we're going to talk more about that next week. Life is hard. Life is broken. And just because it doesn't look like it, it doesn't mean it's not true. Just because it might not feel like God has been good, that His deeds are perfect, that the things that He has done for us are perfect, that He has been faithful, it doesn't mean He's not. We just need to sometimes take the time to look back and go, wow, you're right. God has been faithful to us. And I think that, you know, if you look at the Psalms, it's full of these different writers looking back and reflecting on what God has done and saying, wow, God is amazing. God is faithful. God is incredible. And that's something that's so important for us. And so if you're here going, you know, I don't know. I don't believe it. I'm not sure. Then just honestly, just shut up and sit and reflect. Because honestly, a lot of times it's just a matter of thinking and going, wow, you know that time when that car accident happened and this could have happened, but this happened? Remember that time when I lost my job and thought that was the end of it and God said, no, I've got this. Remember that time God said, hey, I want you to leave your church and plant a new church? And you're like, no, that's insane. It, from our perspective, it might not seem like He knows what He's doing, but He does. It might not seem like His deeds are perfect. It might not seem like the things that God does are faithful. But we just need to take the time to reflect. And I want you to know that no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where your life has been, what you've been through, God has been faithful to you. To you. Well, you don't realize what I've done. I don't care. God has been faithful to you. Well, you don't know my story. No. But God has still been faithful to you. You don't understand the situation that I'm in. No. But God has been faithful to you and will be because He is faithful. It is who He is. So faithful is who God is. His faithfulness is found in how He loves. His faithfulness is found in what He does. And finally, His faithfulness is found in the way He works. The way He works. And this is what Moses says. He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything He does is just and fair. Everything God does is just and fair. And we don't understand the way God works sometimes. We don't understand the way God works a lot of times. But we need to take a moment, we need to believe, we need to recognize that everything that God does is just and fair. And we have to realize that He sees a bigger picture than we do. So we see our little microcosm, our little dot on the map. But God, He's doing the two fingers, spreading out, zooming out, zooming out, zooming out. And He sees this big picture. He says, this part right here, to them, it doesn't look that significant, but this piece right here is because this piece over here is being fit into that spot. And because I want this piece to fit here. And these pieces are all coming together because I've got a plan and I am working on something. And honestly, I was just talking to Kendra about this last week. Like, this room is full of God's story being woven. And honestly, there are people, you talked 5 years ago, let's talk 5 months ago. You're like, hey, let me tell you something. This is what God's going to be doing in their life. You need to stop drinking the Benadryl, okay? Because we teach kids to do that now. Thank you, Greg and Wilson. You need to stop doing that because no, there is no way that in 5 months that would be happening. There is no way in 5 years God would do that. There is no way because you don't see what's going on right now. And I want you to understand it doesn't matter what we see. Our perspective is so small and so narrow. And God is working stuff out because He is faithful and He will not stop being faithful. He is faithful and everything He does is just and fair. And even if we can't believe it, even if we can't see it, we need to believe it. And I want you to also understand this. You know, not only is God weaving all these pieces together and parts that are in place are, you know, they might not even be for years. They might even be for anything you ever see. But God is working on something for someone there that He wants to be in a relationship with Him. That He wants to help through an issue. And you can't see that. The other thing you have to realize is that God knows what He's doing, and we don't. And I'm not trying to make light of hard times. I'm not trying to say, well, just trust the Lord. Yay. All right, thanks. Don't blow your nose. I'm not trying to be cheap with you. And like, no, life's hard. There's junk. But I want you to understand that sometimes the way we see things don't make any sense. Because God is doing something different. And if we understood everything that God was doing, I think we would have a problem. I think that would get rid of the God part of God. Because He would be just one of us. And a song is coming to mind, but I'm old, so I'm not going to sing it. Because it would make me sound like I'm old if I talk about, what if God was one of us? I mean, God became man in Jesus. That's a whole other story. But no, like, God is bigger because He is God. He is more amazing because He is God. He is wonderful. He is God. If we understood everything about God, He wouldn't be God anymore. And so we need to recognize that God's faithfulness is found in the way He works. And even if we don't see, even if we don't understand, we need to trust that He is faithful. He is faithful. And even if, you know, we're going through a situation and we think, well, oh, in this situation, I'll just float up. No, you're still going to fall. I'm just going to go sideways. No, you're still going to drop. Because gravity happens. And even though you might feel like it's not working out, God's faithfulness is working out because it is who He is. And that's what Moses is sharing in this song, talking about how, you know, I'm at the end of my life. These are my last words. And I'm even being punished. I'm missing out on the cool things I've really been looking forward to. And I'm going to tell everybody how faithful God is, because He is faithful. And no matter where we are in our life, no matter what our situation is, God is faithful. It is who He is. It is His nature. It is gravity. It is going to happen. It does happen. It has been yesterday, today, and forever. God is faithful. So, I want to share a few things. The point being that God is faithful, is always faithful in all that He does. God is always faithful in all that He does. Always. And again, I said this is cerebral. This is mental stuff. This is just learning and understanding. And if we can just keep that always in mind. Keep that always in mind when we get to that spot where, oh no, this doesn't sound good. Keep that always in mind when the doctor comes in and says, can we talk? Keep that always in mind when they say, I'm leaving. Keep that always in mind when you know, sorry, no one is here for you. Keep that always in mind when you lose your job. Keep that always in mind when things don't go the way, when everybody makes fun of you in school. Like, keep that always in mind because God is always faithful in all that He does. And we just need to remember that. And that's all I'm asking you is just remember that. I'm not saying enjoy it. I'm not saying be happy in bad times. And I guess I will say this too. When we're celebrating, when we're enjoying what God has done, God is always faithful. Not us, not our building, not our church. It's God. And I don't want this month to be about, yay, look at us, we're so awesome. Can't do that, I don't know why. Just because. Like, no, God is awesome. We're just along for the ride. And dude, it's been so much fun. And it's been a crazy ride. And it's been really hard. It's been really hard. And it's been really exciting. And a lot of the exciting came because of the hard. And a lot of the hard is still yet to come. And a lot of the exciting is there. And through all of it, God is faithful, because God is always faithful in all that He does. So I want to share a couple things. Because God is faithful, and this is setting up where we're going over the next 3 weeks as we celebrate some different things. God is always faithful in all that He does. We need to get that. God is faithful. It is who He is. God is faithful. God is faithful. Doesn't change. Can't change it. But because God is faithfulness, the first thing is that His faithfulness is not forgotten in our circumstances. His faithfulness is not forgotten in our circumstances. Which will eventually come on the screen. There it is. And this is what we're going to talk about next week. Because, as I said, sometimes it's easy to be in these moments where we feel like, does anybody care? Is anybody out there? God, where are you? And it's okay to ask, God, where are you? What's going on? Because sometimes it feels like when we're in the midst of a bad time, a hard circumstance, we're in the midst of trouble, we wonder, God, have you forgotten about me? I mean, you say all this faithfulness stuff, but is it real? But see, because it's not even a choice, it's not even God saying, well, yeah, I know I said that, but I only meant that for Kirk. So sorry to the rest of you guys. Changed my mind. Whoopsie. You know, oh, wait, your church has black walls. Faithfulness stops there. No, it's not a decision. It's who God is. And so His faithfulness is not forgotten in our circumstances. And again, we're going to unpack this more next week. We're going to get into this idea. And it comes from 1 Peter 4:19. And this is what Peter writes. He says, So then, those who suffer according to God's will. If you're suffering according to God's will, if this is what God wants for you, they should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. He says, if you're going through a hard time, I mean, this is what He's saying. It's kind of time to suck it up and move on, because God is still faithful. And even if you're suffering, even if you're going through a hard time, it is who God is. It happens. Faithfulness is. And so if you're going through a hard time, if you're suffering, just commit yourself to your faithful Creator and continue to do good. Press on. And again, we'll look at this more next week. But understand that God's faithfulness is not forgotten in our circumstances. And it's so hard for us to remember that. It's so hard for us to see that. And hopefully next week we can really look at this idea and just walk away with a sense of, you know, I don't know what's going on. I can't see through all the mess. I can't see through all the junk. But I can trust that God is there. And that God hasn't forgotten me. The second thing we're going to look at is that God's faithfulness is not changing His promises. God doesn't change. If He has promised something in His Word, if He has promised something in the Bible, He won't change, because He's faithful. He will do what He says He's going to do. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, Paul writes this. He writes to the church in Thessalonica, which you all know where that is. It's out east. Or west, depending on which way you go. Or north or south. So you're always right. It's one way or another. But it's in Thessalonica. It's a church that he planted. And he's writing this letter to them. And he says, God will make this happen. He who calls you is faithful. And if God has called you to do something, if God has said, look, this is what I want you to do, if God said, look, this is something you need to be, or a way you need to act, or a decision you need to make, or something you need to give up. We talked about giving last week. If God tells you to give, God tells you to do it. He is going to be faithful to His promise, because God promises to always come through for us. God promises to always provide for us. Now, again, going back to what we said earlier, the way we see that might be different. You might think God providing for you means you've got a really nice couch and a really big TV and people that come and just put food in your mouth for you. And if you don't have that, well, then God's not providing for me. I had to make my own food when I went through the drive-thru. Like, No, like, just understand that God's perspective might not be our perspective, but He has always promised to provide for us. And so if God is saying, give this up or give this money, and again, we talked about that last week, so I'm not talking about give. But if He says to do it, He's going to come through. He's always faithful to His promises. He will not stop. And we're going to talk that week about God's faithfulness to us as a church. I'm going to share a little bit about the MC3 story and where we've been and what has transpired 5 years ago to make us what He is today. And it's been about God calling and saying, this is what I want you to do. And a lot of that, honestly, and I'm, spoiler alert, I guess, but, a lot of that was, that doesn't make sense, God. That doesn't line up with my checkbook, God. That's going to hurt emotionally, God. I'm going to lose friends, God. And He calls you, and He's faithful. And here we are. It's true. So remember that. Because God is faithful, He is not going to change His promises. He's not. He is faithful. He says that He's coming through. His word promises things. I mean, just full of promises. And He will come through because He is faithful. And then finally, because God is faithful, He is not. Well, His faithfulness is not rejected because of our failures. How often do we mess up? How often do we not? I mean, and I'm not even talking about like, oh, I'm not a pastor, or I'm not super holy and spiritual, right? Like, neither am I. But how often do we just mess up? And we're like, this is what I want to do. And you say, okay, the next time I talk with my wife, I'm going to make sure that I keep my tongue under control. And I mean in the appropriate talking sense. And I'm going to say the things that I should say and not say the things that I shouldn't. And you're like, 1 minute into the conversation, you start saying things you shouldn't. Like, oh, stupid. Why? We fail. We mess up. We always come short. And then there's God's big standards and there's our personal standards. And we fail. And we fail. And we fail. And, man, have you... I don't know. I don't know if any of you have worked like at a job where you have people under you, where you have responsibility over people. I mean, I was the drive-thru coordinator. Dairy Queen, yeah. I had people that worked under me. I had a milkshake maker guy. Yep. And I also had a person that would take the money, register, a soda person. Like, I had some people under me. I know, like, I'm available for autographs afterwards. But in my experience with this, dude, it didn't take very long. When you had that one employee, you're like, how did you even get hired? Like, seriously, what do you want? You realize that this is called work because you actually have to work. And you had that person, you're like, you put the cup under the thing and the soda comes out automatically. Not that hard. And it didn't take long because we had a standard at our Dairy Queen, and I don't even remember what the number was. I think it was 90 seconds. I believe the number was 90 seconds from when they placed their order, they needed to be out, already have their product, made the money change, and gone. This wasn't in town here. This is where I grew up in Delaware. And so it was 90 seconds, I believe. And there was a timer. And every transaction was logged. As soon as we put the order in, when they spoke into the thing, that thing. As soon as that went in, then the timer would start. And it's in big letters, sort of like that. Clock on there, as you can't see, but I can. Anyway, so you had 90 seconds. And, dude, it didn't take long as a drive-through coordinator to be like, can we just bypass that person? Because they're seriously screwing up my times. Because they can't handle this. And so, after a while of stuff like that, and again, if you've ever worked with somebody, you probably had that person or those people, or maybe your kids, maybe your spouse, maybe a friend has let you down, and you're like, oh, man, I'm done. I'm done. I can't handle this. I can't handle you. And we walk away. It's not God. Never Never does he say, I'm done. Never does he say, I can't handle any more of it. Because he is faithful. He is not rejected because of our failures. And this is what he says in 2 Timothy. Paul writes to Timothy. Timothy's this young guy, this young pastor. And he says, Timothy, even if we are not faithful, he will remain faithful. Because he must be true to himself. Because faithfulness is who God is. And so the last week of the month, we're going to look at that. Actually, it's not the last week. It's the fourth week of the month. Because there's a fifth Sunday in October. And there's C3 opportunities are happening within Prime groups. If you don't know what that's about, you can talk to me or Brian, maybe out at the table there, about C3 opportunities and Prime groups and how those are happening together on the fifth Sunday in October. But the last week of October that we're meeting here, October 23rd, it's Kendra's birthday. We're going to talk about that. And even when we're not faithful, God is faithful. And that's the story. I mean, and that's why this series called Faithful isn't about us. That's why it's not about MC3 or what God has done or what we have done. Because we are not faithful. We've screwed up. I've worked with spoiler, I'm going to take you behind the scenes here. I've worked with Scott and Justin. That's Greg and Wilson's real names. Don't tell anybody. I know you're shocked. But they're sinners. And they screw up. And they've worked with me. And I'm a sinner. And I've screwed up. And we've got elders. And we have a meeting tomorrow night. By the way, don't forget. We have a meeting tomorrow night. And we're a bunch of sinners. We're a bunch of screw-ups. And if God dealt with us based purely on that, dude, go, run away, get out, be gone. Because we've got nothing to offer. But God is faithful even when we're not. And everything that we have, that's our timers kicking off the air conditioner at noon. Everything that we have is because of what God has done. And so understand that God is faithful. His faithfulness is not rejected because of our failures. So that's where we're going this month. Looking at God's faithfulness, understanding that God is faithful and that God is always faithful in all that He does. He won't change. He's like gravity. It doesn't change. You can't stop it. You can't switch it. You can't blink. You can't mess it up. You can't cause it to do something else. You can't go so far that He's not faithful anymore because it's who He is. He is always faithful in all that He does. So just get that concept. And I get it. Do it! But that's all I'm asking right now, just to walk away going, you know what? I don't know if I quite believe it all the time, but okay. I'll trust that God is faithful. And then when we take the time to reflect on that, a lot of times we look back and go, wow, He is. Wow, He is. And that's what the Faithful Five stories are. I'll throw a little commercial in here for it. I mean, this isn't about us filling time, and this isn't about you having to have a good enough story to share. This is about us saying, what has God done? Because not everybody knows the stories. Not everybody knows what's going on. And so I'd love for you, I mean, as soon as we're done here too, we're going to have food, but we'll have the camera going up there. If you want to go up and record your Faithful Five story, what has God done before MC3, 5 years ago, where are you now? Because we can reflect, and maybe it has nothing to do with us. Maybe it has everything to do with you taking that time going, wow, God is faithful. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you are faithful. And I thank you that like the law of gravity, it is who you are. That nothing can change it. That nothing that we do can sway it. That our circumstances don't affect it. That you are faithful to us. And I thank you for the power of this morning. Not because the band did a really good job playing. Not because the ATU was stinking funny. But God, everything that is powerful this morning is because you are faithful to us. And you have been, and you will be. And I pray, just on that simple little level, that we would walk out of here, maybe not getting it, maybe not understanding it completely, maybe not even completely buying in, but just recognizing that you are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful to us, God. I pray that in Jesus' name.